Hi guys, welcome back to Time with Tracy, and this is your girl Tracy here again on Tuesday 5:30 101.5 UMFM, and this episode is going to be a little bit different. But before I even spoil anything for you, let's get into it. Your week. I hope your week was good. I just want to say happy holidays to everyone, because obviously it's coming to Christmas. We have Hanukkah too. All in all, happy holidays. I hope you're spending the holidays in a good way with family or with friends or with if you love your job and you love working on Christmas and that's working out for you. I am as a student who is still waiting to go back into classes, imagine when I'm talking about holidays, you can imagine how most of us University of Manitoba students feel. And we are, we just got news, and as I record, this episode, we're just waiting to know whether we shall go back to school or not. But, stay tuned, and I'm sure next episode I'll be telling you, hey, we are in school or we are still seated at home. Anyways, as I said, this episode is going to be a little bit different. I went around and kind of did some sort of research, whereby I kind of Googled and looked through different blogs, different websites that talk about mental health, different websites that talk about different psychology, things to do with our mental health, our mind being. And I was looking for frequently asked questions, or questions that, everyone wants to know about, or different questions that maybe you yourself, you've been wondering, or they have crossed your mind, once in a while, or they crossed your mind while I was, while you were listening to this episode, or while you were listening to another mental health or psychology episode. So basically, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be reading different random questions, kind of coming up with my answers, but giving you answers that are also based on research and the knowledge that I do know about mental health, the knowledge that I can put on the plate. If I don't know the answer, trust me, I will not give you false information. I will tell you that I do not know the answer, and will probably promise to look for it maybe next episode. But aside from that, I think we can definitely get into it. Our first question is, the basic one. How can we literally have this and not answer the basic question? What is mental health? And, mental health is made up of our beliefs, our thoughts, our mind, our feelings, our behavior. It's just basically has to do with upstairs. And by upstairs, I mean the brain, how we feel, our minds, it's our inner self. Next question is, what do I do if the support doesn't help? Obviously, it can be difficult to find things that help you, and I think I've been mentioning this so many times during my podcasts, and I have during my podcast and during the show. I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but I actually host a podcast called Psyched with Holly and Tracy, so you can find us on any platform. But I always talk about this, and I always mention that the thing with mental health that makes it sort of unique is that sometimes you have to try 2, 1, 3 things before you find something that works for you. And please do not be afraid to try so many stuff. That's the thing. That's the importance about us getting to know more and a lot about mental health. Because if things don't work out for you the first time, you can try something different, and you might end up finding that, hey, this thing that you tried second is actually what is helping you and in you and is making you feel so much better. And it's also very important to be open to a range of approaches, to be open to a range of therapies, to also be open to a range of medications. You know, sometimes even when you're talking to a specialist or to a doctor and they subscribe for you, they prescribe. I'm just thinking about random stuff. Anyways, when they prescribe for you medication, they'll tell you, you know, this is supposed to help. Let's try it out. Let's give it some time. If you don't feel okay, you don't feel much better, you know, come back. We can switch to something like this. We can switch to something like this. There are so many options. So allow yourself the opportunity to go through the different options so that you find the right help and so that you feel so much better. Even if things don't work out, you've got this and you can always find a way. What's super important is always keeping up the hope. Next question. Can you prevent mental health problems? Honestly, I don't think you can prevent mental health problems, but you can prevent them from being serious. Because to be honest, there are so many things that happen in life. You know, we lose our loved ones. We've already seen this through COVID. Or we do not get maybe the jobs we are working for. We do not maybe get manage to get the goals we are working for. Maybe we are, you know, struggling with keeping up with the 2-3 jobs we are having, keeping up with school, keeping up with doing the right courses. So many things in life are hitting us left and right. And we've talked about mental health and talking about how it's about feelings, it's about behaviors. And we see obvious when things don't go right, we get angry, we get sad. And this anger could lead to us maybe doing something out of character, or the sadness could lead to us being in our houses, or it could lead even these different events that can happen in our lives that entail maybe grief or abuse that can affect us at any point, even if it doesn't have anything to do with, even if it's not in our power and in our control. So it might be very hard. And yes, we can all suffer mental health challenges. But the reason as to why we talk about, you know, mindfulness, we talk about us being able to break down the stigma, it's that in case something that happens that is going to affect your mental health, you know, its progress or its functioning, you'll be able to get help in order for it not to get too serious. Hearing from people, you even thinking about suicide, which is very, very common. So that's the whole point of us talking about this. So yes, we might not be able to prevent all the mental health problems from happening to us, but the point of all this is to prevent sequences or the effects that issues could have. Next question. Are there cures for mental health problems? Obviously, it's often realistic and more helpful to find out that there is help for the issues that we face. But for some mental health disorders, for example, I could say schizophrenia, some of them don't have like a prescribed medication that, you know, if you take this, it's done, that's it. But talking, counseling, medication, support system, exercise, good sleep, nutrition can all bring meaningful help into our lives. So there might not be cures to all the problems that we think about when it comes to mental health, but there are ways that we can make our standard of living so much better and even make it so insignificant in our lives, or make it that we can live productive, amazing lives even if we are being faced with mental health problems. So there are no cures for some of them, but at least you can be able to get help in that you'll be able to live an amazing good life that's at its fullest capacity. Next question. This is a question that I feel like is asked, you know, when you're studying psychology, when you're talking about mental health with anyone, when you're talking about mental disorders, it's a question that everyone wants answers to, because we most times it's like maybe, oh, if we know the cause, will that bring us nearer to finding out the cure? But the question is, what causes mental health problems? And I think I've already mentioned it in the beginning of this podcast. All these different circumstances that happen to us, you know, losing loved ones, facing challenges and problems in our life that we face, often leads or arises to like psychological issues as well as mental health problems. Well, sometimes it might not be, the truth is that sometimes it might not be an event in life. Sometimes people are born like this. It could be in our genetics. For example, when you talk about if someone has a bipolar parent, they are at a high risk of being bipolar themselves. So sometimes it's genetics that causes mental health problems. And sometimes it can be a combination of the environment and genetics, nature versus nurture. Next, how do you know? I think I did a whole episode on this actually, about checking in with mental health and how do we know if we are unwell or if we are not doing okay when it comes to mental health. So the question is, how do I know if I am unwell? Well, one thing that I want us to kind of notice, one thing that I want us to take into accountability is that our feelings, our beliefs, our thoughts, our behaviors have a very significant impact in our ability to function. Basically, the way you feel, the way you are. Sometimes, to be honest, I'll say this also from my point of view and also from the stories that we've had. So many times when a person has mental health problems, it's not that they don't know about it. But obviously, we have different defense mechanisms. Sometimes we are in denial, but we know we are not okay, but we are in denial about what we are facing. So sometimes we already know that we are unwell. Also, if we find ourselves, you know, not concentrating on work, not concentrating on studies, maybe our daily routines that we used to follow are being interjected or they are being distorted, these kinds of stuff. Because as I said, our mind, our brain is such a big part of who we are and it's such a big part of our daily lives, in that if the function is a bit messed up in what we might consider to be a normal or ordinary way, then it would be very important to ask for help if you feel like things are not going the right way. That's why sometimes people feel like, oh, but the other thing that I want to say on this is that you do not always have to see a therapist even if things are not going well. Even if things are going well, you can always see them, because you keeping track is when you can know, hey, when I'm feeling like this, I think I'm okay. But when I'm like this, I'm not okay. That's because when you know yourself so well, you'll be able to distinguish between how you're feeling to know whether you are doing okay or you are not doing okay. I don't know if that makes sense. Next question. What do I do if I am worried about my mental health? The most important thing is to talk to someone you trust. That's the most important thing. This could be your friend, this could be your colleague, your family member, or even you can go straight away to your general practitioner, or this could be a doctor. Because sometimes, of course, we might not know what to do next. And maybe talking to a friend or even just talking to a counselor, it might not be going straight away to a psychologist, but even talking to a counselor, because they have a wider scope of knowledge in these kinds of stuff, they might be able to even help you out in case you feel like you're worried about your mental health. They might be able to provide you with different resources, because we know that we all can afford different types of stuff. Sometimes we might feel afraid to go and check out our mental health because we are like, you know, how am I going to get the money for this? Where do I even go? Is it okay if I ask for help? Sometimes talking to someone you trust can help you get through that journey or help you cross that bridge in order for you to get some help. On top of talking to someone, finding out more information about what you're experiencing can really, really, really help. So this is why we keep on, you know, I keep on talking about the importance of mental health knowledge being spread, is because personally, if I woke up tomorrow and I was, let's say, having symptoms of schizophrenia, I will not diagnose myself, because obviously I'm not a professional. But when I see the symptoms, or when I can tell the symptoms, I will have an idea about what I'm facing, or I will know something about it. So that will push me to go and see a professional. Just like the same way, if you woke up and you are having, you know, symptoms of a cold, yes, you won't diagnose yourself that, oh, but because you have the information, you already have maybe what you can do, what can help you go through this. Maybe you already know that, hey, if I go to Shoppers Drug Mart, I can see someone. Or having information helps a lot, because it can help you get through that starting stage and help you get to figure out what is wrong, since you're worried about your mental health. these things may help to get some perspective on what you're experiencing, and obviously getting help sooner rather than later is always the best option. Next question. What should I do if I'm worried about a friend or a relative? Oh my goodness. If you're a person who has listened to one or two or even all of my episodes, you know that I'm always talking about this. I'm always emphasizing or giving us, you know, small tips and that you feel you are worried about. And number one is, obviously it will depend on your relationship with them. That's without a doubt. But number one is always do it in a private setting. That's always the best. Obviously, if you attack someone about how they are feeling in a setting where it's public, they are going to feel, as I used the word, they are going to feel attacked. They are going to feel like they don't know their situation. Maybe this is a new concept to them. And yes, you might be helping them, but if you come to them in a place where they do not feel safe, in a place maybe where they feel like they don't have control over the situation, it might make it go south so fast. And obviously, gently encourage them to seek some appropriate support. And someone knowing, you know, your friend, your relative knowing that you'll be there to support them in whatever they want is the best. It's just about you letting them know that, you know, I have noticed this. I just wanted to see, you know, are you okay? And, you know, you don't have to tell me the details, but I was just wondering if you might want to seek some help. Obviously, sometimes they don't want to tell you the details because it's their personal life, but you just saying, you know, you don't have to tell me the details, but I know this counselor or I know this psychologist, you can go talk to them. That's already enough. You're providing literally the best support that they can need at that point. Next question. How do I deal with someone telling me what to do? And this is like, let's say, the point of view from a person, let's say, who's being approached or something. Obviously, people are going to give you advice. They're going to give you advice. It's like, I think it's in our nature, you know, to try to be contributing, to try to be a part of something. People will give you whatever information they have, but you know, it's up to you to make that decision. It's up to you to decide what you want. It's up to you to make that decision, and it's also up to you to choose people or choose friends. You know, even if they're advising you, they will let you run the course of everything. Let me put it in that way. Next question. Can people stabilize a mental illness simply with medication alone? Well, this is a very tricky question because obviously, although medications can often aid in treatment of mental health, it is unlikely that medication can solve everything on its own. For example, I'll give an example of like, let me give PTSD. Obviously, we know that PTSD sometimes comes with nightmares, it can come with panic attacks, it can come with so many different stuff. So you might take medication for sleeping because some of the symptoms are insomnia and you might not be able to sleep, but you might medication to help you sleep. You might take serotonin or like these different medications that they give you for maybe making your mood better, but so many things have gone on that you have to talk about. For example, if you're having PTSD, it could be from, you know, being a soldier, it could be from abuse, it could be from grief, it could be from an accident. And these are things that are, let's say, embedded in our brains. That's why talking through them and having this different type of therapy helps us work through the issues. So medication alone won't get you perfectly to where you have to be, but most times, as we've seen from the research, actually medication combined with therapy is literally one of the best ways that someone can get better, because it helps you in the way you think. It that's what the therapy does, and the medication does the biological side of stuff. Next question. Why does someone with mental illness need to have a routine? If we are to notice, obviously mental illness can often disrupt a person's life. It could hinder you from going to school. It could hinder you from work. It could hinder you from visiting your family, hanging out with your friends, and being able to complete, you know, tasks, even just routine stuff. This could be like brushing your teeth, taking a shower, and all these things. But establishing a daily routine or establishing a format of I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, it helps normalize daily life in a patient's life, and it also most times contributes to life satisfaction that comes with personal accomplishment. You know, most times when you talk to a person who has had depression, they'll tell you, you know, they find it hard to eat, they might find it hard to get out of bed, they might find it hard to brush, do all these general things that we've been talking about. But one thing I want you to think about is putting yourself in their shoes, and you being able to, let's say, have brushed your teeth, showered, laid your bed, and even if you have had 2 meals a day, from having one or even none in days because of this routine, it helps you keep up with life. It helps you, you know, try to feel like things are normal as you get help, as you get professional help. That's why it's important to stay in a routine, because it keeps you healthy. Because obviously the thing that makes mental health issues so problematic in ways that we don't see it coming is because it starts with the brain. It starts with you not feeling okay. It starts with your mind. It starts with your feelings. And if you're to notice, when it starts affecting your physical health, because it actually does. I mean, if you're not eating, if you're not getting enough sleep, it gradually comes all the way from just not it only being the brain or your mind into the physical health. But if you try and keep your physical health also good, you've tackled one of the problems, mental health. So it's always good for you to stay in a routine. Next question. Does exercising help control mental illness just by itself? Just to clarify, no. By itself, exercising doesn't control many types. Like, exercising doesn't just be there and cure depression, or it doesn't be there and just cure PTSD. But as I said, exercising helps you keep your physical health in check, as let's say it gives you time to concentrate on the mental health side of it, because it's very hard to be tackling, you know, physical tackling mental health. It makes it more complicated for you. So exercising is also part of, like, let's say, the routine that we've been talking about. It's part of your health in check and better. Next question. Is mental health a chronic disorder? First of all, I'll define chronic. Chronic is defined as lasting for a long period of time or marked by a frequent recurrence or of long duration, meaning like continuing or in a continuing form. The truth is that many, or if not most, mental illnesses could be categorized as chronic, in that an individual living will never just, let's say, get over that illness. But that is not to say that some of the symptoms, or even many of the symptoms of these mental illnesses, cannot be largely alleviated through treatment. And if treated correctly, many mental illnesses will have minimal impact on those living with them. So yes, it's true that obviously mental illnesses are not, it's not like a cold, like it won't just come today and move away. That's why you sometimes, even unfortunately, sometimes you have relapses. And also we've talked about how there is no just like a cure for PTSD or a cure for schizophrenia. But we've seen stories of people, yes, they were going through a tough time when we were going through a mental illness, but because of treatment, through medication, through therapy, they are living a life that, let's say, we can call normal. So yes, you might stay with it for a long time, or you might stay with it for a longer time than you'd want, than obviously any person would want it to be. But that doesn't mean that when you treat it, when you see a professional, it reduces all these symptoms. It reduces how they affect you. It reduces their power, I would say, over you, because you're taking charge and you're doing so much better. That's why it's important for people to get professional help. And that's why we keep on talking about it and emphasize. Next question. Is it true that nearly 90% of people who attempt or commit suicide have had some form of mental illness? Yes. This statistic is cited by the National Institute of Mental Health on its website. And this is because, you know, I always talk about suicide and in the suicide month, awareness month. most times suicide comes from these different things. It comes from mental health in times being tough. Because if you think about it, obviously when suicide, it's not because they were having a good day and then they decided the best way to celebrate or to end the day is to die. It's obviously not logical. When a person commits suicide, it's because they're going through a tough time. And that's the thing. That's why I keep on emphasizing mental health, because all these different mental health disorders that I've talked about, even the ones that I haven't talked about, all can lead to suicide. Even if it's depression, even if it's anxiety, even if it's PTSD, even if it's schizophrenia, even if it's bipolar, even if it's I've forgotten, the names keep on bouncing off my head, you know, one all at a go, but all these different things can lead to suicide. That's why it's so important. It's so important for all of us to take note of mental health, to see how important it is. Because imagine, and suicide is not a thing that just happens once in a blue moon. We've seen, you know, different statistics showing us we are losing hundreds and thousands of people and suicide being among the leading causes of death in the world, which shows that we need to target it. The same way, you know, we target poverty, the same way we target all these things, we need to target suicide, because it is an issue that is affecting us, whether we know it, whether we are directly affected or not. Next question. Why is it so hard to get medical coverage for mental health issues? There are very many different factors that affect this, and obviously it makes it hard for people to get help. Obviously, first is insurance companies often restrict benefits available to individuals with mental health, you know, with mental health by placing greater limits on their use. Secondly, many insurance companies refuse to cover illnesses and conditions they believe to be pre-existing, because obviously we've seen that sometimes if a person is born with a mental health complication, it can be going on for a long time. And that's why we need to talk about this, because it's not someone's fault. And these are things that are so common that we need to work on so many times. And yes, sometimes it's so hard. That's why we need to stand up together. We need to fight together. We need to come together and see that this is something that's affecting me. It's affecting my brother. It's affecting my neighbor. It's affecting a person I see walking on the street. It's affecting the people who are working in the grocery stores that I'm going to. Basically, it's affecting us indirectly and directly. That's why it can't be something that we just throw off onto the side. My last question will be, you know, how can we create awareness of mental health? And this one is basic. We have to break down the stigma. This is through, you know, having workshops, having radio shows like this, having television shows, having movies talking about mental health, having, you know, more education or constructive, let's say, competitions that are with mental health to create awareness, bringing incentives for mental health. Maybe it could be in a workplace, in a school place, in a community. Mental health is something we have to tackle. We can't tackle it as only Tracy. I can't tackle it as just 2-3 people in a whole community or in a country together. And if we do so, I believe that we have an amazing chance at overcoming mental health. So for that, thank you guys. And this was Tracy. I can't wait to see you again next week, Tuesday. Goodbye.